Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Back in God's house again tonight. Last night was really, really wonderful. Miss Debbie ministered, and it was so powerful. And Emmy translated, and it was just really a wonderfully joyful service. We're continuing on with Daniel tonight, but I want to do just a tiny bit of review, but this has really just been in my spirit, and just I feel like this is so noteworthy and that we need to understand this. The entire chapter of Daniel 4 is a letter from King Nebuchadnezzar. The entire chapter is his testimony. It begins by saying, Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages, and that's all of us. He wrote a letter for all the people of the day and for all of us and the nations and languages, for all languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. Here's this king who went through so much, and he's speaking a word of peace to us. And he continues on, and I'm going to take the time tonight, even if I don't get to the entire portion of the teaching tonight. This letter has just been so on my heart. I thought, how wonderful for this king to write this letter and give his testimony. That was the right thing to do. It's the right thing for us. And he begins the letter by saying who it's to and who he is and who it's to, which that was very common in the day. And he said, I'm going to paraphrase it. If you don't mind, I'm just going to paraphrase it. I thought it was a good idea to tell of the signs and the wonders, the wonderful things that God has done to me and for me. And I thought it was wonderful to talk to you about how great the signs that he performed and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Obviously, he's talking about God, and his dominion is from generation to generation. This is Nebuchadnezzar's letter. This is his testimony. I, Nebuchadnezzar, I was resting in my house, and I was blessed in my palace. It says flourishing, but the word is blessed. I was blessed because I was in my palace. And I saw this dream. I had a dream, and it made me afraid. It troubled me. And the thoughts, while I lay on in bed, and the visions of my head, they really troubled me again. So I made a decree to go ahead and get all the wise men of Babylon and bring them in, that they could tell me the interpretation of the dream. So they came in, the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, the normal group, and I told the dream to them, but they couldn't tell me what it meant. So at last, finally, Daniel was the last. He came in, whose name was Belteshazzar, and I'm going to address that in a little bit, according to the name of my God. Notice, my God. And in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and before him I told the dream. I said, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, I know the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and there's no secret that troubles you. So tell me the visions of my dream that I've seen and the interpretation. These were the visions of my head while I was in bed that I saw, and I saw this tree in the midst, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew, and he goes and he tells the dream. This is part of it. I won't go through the whole dream. And he continues on, and he said, this dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now, there, Belteshazzar, tell me the interpretation, because the wise men in my kingdom, they can't do it, because the spirit of the holy gods is in you, but not them. Then Daniel, I want you to note, he says that several times. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. He was astonied for an hour, which means he was shocked, he was troubled, he was really disturbed. His thoughts troubled him. And the king, I, said to Belteshazzar, don't let this dream trouble you. And he answered and said, my lord, the dream, I wish it was not about you. I wish it was to your enemies. because the tree is you and the leaves and all of that. And he talks about how you became strong and great and, you know, almost to the heavens, and your dominion, you are famous to the ends of the earth. And the king saw a watcher, which translates an angel and a holy one, coming down from heaven, saying, hew the tree, get rid of the tree, destroy it. But just leave a stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be to the beast of the field till seven times pass over him, which is 7 years. And this is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. It's going to come to pass, and it's about you. And this is what's going to happen to you, and you know they're going to drive you, and you're going to eat like animals. You're going to be like an animal, and you're going to have this mental illness. And Daniel then proceeds after he tells him about this dream, and this is, again, this is a letter from Nebuchadnezzar giving his testimony. In other words, I was told, I was warned, and Daniel goes on in verse 20 to 7, wherefore, in spite of all this, O king, let me give you some advice. Let my counsel be, accept my advice. Let my counsel be acceptable, it says unto thee, which means accept my advice and break off your sins by righteousness. In other words, he's saying, what I need, I want you to repent. I want you to receive my counsel, and my counsel is for you to repent and to live in righteousness. And my counsel is for you to begin to show mercy to the poor, and it may be a lengthening of your peace, your tranquility. And then Nebuchadnezzar says in his letter, all this came upon the king, on King Nebuchadnezzar. And then he proceeds to tell what happened. At the end of 12 months, he walked on the palace. He was very prideful. He said, I built all this. I did all this for my honor, for my majesty, and God had had enough. He had shown enough mercy after 12 months. He gave him a year to follow Daniel's counsel, and he did not follow Daniel's counsel. And this is his own testimony. This is not someone else writing this. This is his letter. He wrote this letter. I really think it's beautiful. And while the word was in the king's mouth, while he was saying how wonderful he was and how majestic he was and what all he had done, and he was speaking words of pride and God had had enough, there came a voice out of heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, your kingdom is now departed from you. I have taken the kingdom now, and they will drive you from men, and the Lord speaks forth that you're going to eat the, and in that same hour the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. So first you see he had 12 months to repent. Now you see he had an hour to repent. In that hour, it began to happen. All of this came. But he said in verse 34, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, again, this is his letter, lifted up my eyes to heaven. Wow. Wow. Do you think that at that point, possibly he remembered Daniel's counsel? You know, you can be crazy, but you know one thing that I say is that even the man in the tombs, God will never take away your ability to choose him, because that's how merciful he was. Even the man in the tombs, who hardly had his right mind, still had the ability to bow his knee to God and to call out to God. And such is the case with Nebuchadnezzar, the same thing. And he said, I lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. My mind returned to me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stop his hand or say to him, what do you? Do you do this? No one can question God, is what that means. At the same time, As he began to lift his eyes to heaven and praise and honor God, worship God, at the same time, verse 36, my sanity returned to me. If that's not a powerful lesson, I don't know what is. My sanity returned unto me, and the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned to me, and my counselors and my Lord sought to me. They came looking for me, and I was established again in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are true and has weighs judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. He is able to take you to where he needs you to be so that he can reach into your life. Sometimes, you know, I was having a short conversation with Willie before church. Sometimes God needs to allow things to happen in our lives so that we can turn to him, so that we realize, just like Nebuchadnezzar, and that we lift our eyes to heaven and begin to honor God. So I wanted to read that entire letter just about in a way we can understand it, and that we need to always remember this is a powerful testimony. He has a son, which we're going to talk about tonight, Belshazzar, but there's so much that happened here, but I want to say, by way of review, you know, Daniel interpreted the first dream for King Nebuchadnezzar, that the sorcerers, nobody could, not those on the payroll. The king forgot the dream. He wanted to know the dream and the interpretation, or have everybody killed. The dream interpretation was revealed to Daniel, only possible by God, and then Daniel in turn revealed it to the king. Daniel therefore saved the lives of all the sorcerers, himself, the astrologers, and they were none thankful, but they became jealous. And I want to say it like this, and Daniel and three Hebrew children got promoted, but Daniel did not know what some of us do know, that sometimes the people you do the most for in life and that you help out the most, they are the ones who will turn on you out of jealousy or envy. Everyone is not going to celebrate your victory, even in the things you do for God. You might say to someone, I'm giving my testimony at church, and they may turn their nose up. Who are you? Who do you think you are? It happens so often. So we need to acknowledge that these people did not appreciate what Daniel had did for them, even though he saved their very lives. And I want to note again that Nebuchadnezzar actually had two dreams, one that he did not remember and could not interpret, but the second that he did remember and could not interpret. Now, remember, he had made Daniel the chief of the magicians, and he was their overseer, which they did not like, but the king knew Daniel heard from God. He knew that from the first dream, correct? And he also knew that he was capable of not just interpreting dreams, but of revealing what dreams were, obviously interpreting dreams. So he has a second dream, and still he calls in the astrologers, the sorcerer, the same group of people. Obviously, he is a slow learner. He is in the slow class. But here's the thing. This is something that I feel. I feel like that there is a secondary reason that is likely that King Nebuchadnezzar did not immediately call for Daniel, but instead tried to call for the astrologers. Because, and you're going to see this in some of this as we begin this, King Nebuchadnezzar likely kind of knew what the dream meant, if I can say it like that. He likely had a good idea because he knew that trees represented people, and there was one tree, and it was going to be cut down, and he likely knew, because the dream troubled him, tormented him, disturbed him, that dream interpretation would not be favorable towards him. Can I say it like that? It would be an unfavorable interpretation. So he first calls in his magicians, hoping for a better interpretation. Maybe you can tell me something that will brighten me up. Maybe you can tell me that this isn't about you at all. But they really couldn't tell him anything because they didn't know, which is common, which is the way it was. So even when Daniel heard the dream, the word says, remember the king was disturbed about the dream. The king was disturbed. He had this dream. He was disturbed. He called them in. That's why. Well, when Daniel heard the dream, this is interesting. Remember the king said, don't be troubled? Daniel was immediately troubled. When Daniel heard the dream, he was astonied, which means almost, what do you call it, just where you're a stone, a statue. You're just like, what? What? He was astonished. He was shocked. He was troubled himself at what he understood immediately what the dream meant. This wasn't, when God gave him the interpretation, it wasn't like Daniel just piece by piece. He immediately knew you immediately know when God gives you an interpretation what it was. I've had it happen in my life. And he knew exactly what was going to happen to Nebuchadnezzar, so much so that he begged and pleaded with the king that you need to repent, you need to live a righteous life, which is, by the way, good advice on any day of the week. He needs to repent. He needs to live a righteous life. He even needs to start ministering to the poor. And he didn't. And he didn't. And he didn't. Here, how many times do you as a believer, you try to give someone godly, sound, wise advice? They won't. They're not going to listen to it. So I thought that was very, very interesting. It is a powerful verse. Let's read this, Daniel 4:19. I want to revisit this. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonied for a time, and his thoughts troubled him. So the king spoke and said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation trouble you. He's telling him, don't let either thing, don't let the dream bother you. It's just a dream. And don't let the interpretation trouble you either. But Daniel was troubled. But this is a powerful verse because there are two things that are noteworthy here. The first is that the king really knew who Daniel was because he began this. Remember, this is his letter. He said, then Daniel. He didn't say, then Belteshazzar. He first said, then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. Okay? He said, the first is that the king knew Daniel's Hebrew name. He knew where Daniel was from, and he knew exactly. And so this is a king talking. He's saying his name is Daniel, but we call him Belteshazzar. That's basically what he's saying here. So I love how the king had to acknowledge his Hebrew name, his heritage, his inheritance, where he came from, basically. And the second thing we have to note is that the dream not only troubled the king, but Daniel himself. And the lot of the translations say that Daniel was in shock. In fact, the Bible actually continues to say for 1 hour. For 1 hour, Daniel was just like, what? What? Let me see if I have that in my notes here real quick. I hate to have to use my password here. And it came, let's see here. I was going to give it to you and show it to you where it said it was actually 1 hour. Let's see. Daniel came before me. Da, 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 da. Here it is, verse 19. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonied for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. It was an hour, a solid hour, that he was like kind of in shock. I thought that was kind of interesting, by the way. So it was so obvious that he was in shock that the king noticed it. And you might be thinking right now, why, after all of this, Daniel having known the first dream and interpreting and giving him the correct interpretation, why did King Nebuchadnezzar not repent? After Daniel had done the first dream, told him the dream and the interpretation, and now is able to tell him the interpretation, tell me, when he gave Daniel advice, why he did not repent. I have a reason for it. Here's why. Many are convicted but not converted, and many are charmed but not changed. They might be enamored by the things of God, but not necessarily God. You can be convicted and know that this is God speaking. It doesn't mean you're converted or going to serve God. It just means that I'm convicted. And you can even push away the Holy Spirit. You can silence him by just rejecting and not thinking about it. But it is a big mistake. It is a big mistake on our part. So he did not repent because he was convicted, not converted, and he was charmed. He loved Daniel's gift, but he didn't love God who gave the gift. And that's the difference, and that's why he didn't repent. Keep that thought in mind, because one of the saddest verses in the Bible is found in Acts 26:28 that says, then Agrippa said to Paul, almost you convinced me to be a Christian. You almost convinced me, not quite. I liked your message. I thought that was a great teaching. That was powerful. Paul, that was amazing. You taught that so well. I'm thinking about that, but no thanks. I was almost convinced. I like the teaching, but I don't like the God that you're talking about. And everything in the dream came to pass because the dream was from God. We see all over this story of Nebuchadnezzar and all of these kings that we're about to study that God is a merciful God, that God is a kind God, that God gives us time. God doesn't just say, I have now pronounced judgment and that's it, that's the end of it. He will say, he will send a messenger. He sent Daniel to say, repent, repent, live a righteous life. He had every opportunity, gave him 12 months, then gave him a little extra hour there, everything, and he still didn't. And so everything came to pass. And I just want to say that everything that God has said, whether for good or bad, it will come to pass. And I love the story of Nebuchadnezzar for this reason. It doesn't have a sad ending. So many of these stories have sad endings. But this doesn't have a sad ending because at the end of the 7 years, he did lift up his eyes to heaven. He was restored. God healed him of a very serious mental illness. I actually had written down the name today, but I left it on my desk. It's thinking that you're an ox. There's an actual disease. One of them is believing that you're an animal. Another is actually believing that you're an ox. Did not know that. But it is a mental illness. And he was healed of a serious mental illness. But when he began to worship God and honor God, he praised God and he glorified him. And God restored all that. God is a healer of mental issues. And I want to tell you that one of the first steps is to begin to worship God, is begin to honor God and the cross and the blood. And I can tell you that there is healing there, and there is power in the name of Jesus. And he could have done this. Now, some people have a debate over this, but it's not debatable. But at the end of 7 years, we know that God knew that it was going to be 7 years, so that is recorded in the Bible. However, he could have repented at any time, and it would have been written differently. It would have said 6 years. After 6 years, the prophecy was that after that 7 years, he would eat of the fields. But, however, Nebuchadnezzar bowed his, and the fourth year, or the fifth year, or the sixth year, he lifted up his eyes to God, and therefore God averted the judgment and restored him to his kingdom. It would have been written differently, but that did not happen. So when I read the story of King Nebuchadnezzar, all I see is God's love. All I can see is God's mercy. I see him sending Daniel, someone else to him, and how many of us God sent someone to us, and we need to be sent to someone too. So God sending Daniel to tell him to repent, that was mercy, that was grace of God. And I just want to say something else, that no matter if you ever find yourself in a place where you have went away from God, where you have, for some reason, the world has drawn you and seduced you away, and things have gotten really, really bad. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, and of course I pray this would never happen to any one of us at all. But I just want to say, if you ever get in a position where life gets bad, whether you've done it yourself or it has happened, no matter how far you've gone away from God, God wants you back. And God will restore you. God can restore you. God will still heal you. The message of repentance is one we need to be preached more of today, to be really honest, and that God will restore, but it begins with repentance. And so tonight we're going to talk briefly and begin. I love this. I'm really excited about this, the handwriting on the wall. I've titled it The Finger of God. And so now we have a new king. This is the son of King Nebuchadnezzar. And we know Nebuchadnezzar in the end received God, and he lifted up his eyes, and his story ends well. He's got a testimony. It's written in the Bible. It takes up an entire chapter of the Bible. But now we have his son. His name is Belshazzar, not Belteshazzar like Daniel, but Belshazzar. And so in chapter 5, verse 1, it says, Belshazzar, the son of King Nebuchadnezzar, the king, he made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords, and he drank wine before the 1,000. But there's a problem with his drinking wine here, and you're going to see it in just a second. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden. This is his critical mistake, by the way. God's not against a good party, okay? I don't care if you're a king. He's not against a good party. And can you have a glass of wine? If you wish, you may. He commanded to bring the golden and the silver vessels, which his father Nebuchadnezzar had stolen from the temple of God, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes and his wives now and his concubines, people he had sexual relationships with that were not endorsed of God, that they might drink from the set-apart vessels that were set apart as holy unto the Lord that they used during their let's call it a communion service. That they took the things from the church as if someone came in here and took all of the communion things, the goblets, whatever we would have, if we had demonstrate, whatever, took them out. They were to be used in worship, stole them, and began to party with them, give them to ungodly people. And while they were doing this, drinking wine, they began to worship and praise their gods. That was his greatest mistake. So we have a king who likes to party, not a sin in itself, but gives this command to bring the stolen stuff from that belongs to God, that was consecrated as unto the Lord and dedicated, and to use them for ungodly purposes as they praise their false gods that were not gods at all. I'm going to tell you that God will not be mocked. And verse 5 says, chapter 5, 5, suddenly, without a warning, at the party, the finger of a human-like hand, the Bible calls it, appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall, like that's plaster back, whatever, on the wall. Near the lampstand in the royal palace, in the light, what this means is it was like God illuminated it, lit it up. Here it is, the handwriting on the wall, and it's all lit up for everyone to see. Therefore, the king watched the hand as it wrote. Now note, a person was not connected to the hand. This was a hand, and the finger actually wrote, the finger of God. It appeared, and if I must say so, this next part is humorous and funny. Verse 6, his face turned very pale, and he was so frightened that his knees knocked together and his legs gave way. He fell to the ground because he was shaking and he was about to pass out. He was literally in terror at a finger writing on the wall. And I'm guessing, I'm just supposing that the rest of the partygoers were equal to that, but especially the king. It doesn't say it. It doesn't have to say it at all. If there is a finger writing on the wall and I am terrified, you are also terrified right alongside me. But the focus is King Belshazzar. He turned pale, as anyone would. And if I had been drinking at a party, it's at this point that I am now sobered up. And that would sober anyone up. Now, I love this because normally we say that, and it is correct to say that we have to invite God into our heart. But and that is true. However, God shows up at this party quite uninvited. Because how can he do this? He's God. He's sovereign. He can and he will, and the earth and everything in is his. He can show up. He's a sovereign God at any party he wants. So beware. If you think, if you're in sin and you think that you're hiding away at a party, at a bar, look for the finger on the wall, the handwriting on the wall, because something can happen, because God will go where he wants to. So they're at this party. The king likely, now I'm going to tell you something else that we have to assume. It may or may not be true, but I believe it is. This king likely had heard the stories that his dad told. I heard lots of stories that my dad told, especially significant things in life. I know a lot about, especially the highlights of life. Oh, this happened, that happened. I do not think that this king did not tell his children these stories. Now, I mean, Daniel and the dreams and the fiery furnace, those are stories you tell your kids, right? I would assume then that those are stories that Nebuchadnezzar would tell his kids too, because it happened to him, okay? So, and I think that he probably knew of this, and he probably knew better, because he also probably knew in the end that his dad honored God. Can we safely assume that that's likely, that he knew that his dad honored God? Something else I believe that God revealed to me is that he did not fall down from drunkenness. Did you know he did not fall down to his knees because of drunkenness. He fell to his knees because of the power of God when he seen the finger writing on the wall. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. That's why he fell to the ground. And so the king is not, he is shaken to the core, and he immediately calls for Daniel, right? No, he does not call for Daniel, even though he probably heard the stories and knows that Daniel's in the kingdom. History tends to repeat itself, doesn't it? So he calls for guess who? Anybody care to guess? The enchanters, the astrologers, Millie, the magicians, and all the sorcerers, and the group. He calls the group again, the group that cannot do it. So instead of telling them that I'm going to cut you in a million pieces and I'm going to take your house, you know that part, which doesn't matter. Instead, he tries a new tactic because threatening didn't seem to work and get his dad very far, so he tries something new. Instead of threatening to cut him in pieces and take their house, this was funny to me too. He says, whoever reads this writing and tells me what it means will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed around his neck, and he will be made the third highest ruler in our kingdom. I don't know who was number two under Belshazzar, but Daniel is in line to be number three. It looks like Daniel in a few minutes is going to get new clothes and a new wardrobe and some gold chains, some jewelry. Because we know what they did not know, that they could not do it, that these false magicians and things could not do it because they're not wise, they're foolish. And they could not do what King Belshazzar requested. So in verse 8 it says, then all the king's wise men came in. Why even bother to bring them in anymore? But could not read, I've read this before, but could not read the writing, could not do it, or tell the king what it meant. So King Belshazzar became even more terrified. His face grew more pale. It said he was very pale in the beginning. Now it's more pale? I don't understand this, but he's really white. He's a really white guy. And his nobles were confused. He's about to pass out again. However, the disturbance somewhere nearby was the queen, because this is what the Bible says in verse 10. The queen hearing the voices of the king and his nobles. Now, they were getting loud. Things were happening. She must have been close enough because it says, hearing the voices of the king and his nobles, maybe they were crying, maybe they were shouting, what's going on? Who can interpret this? Came into the banquet hall, which, by the way, was not protocol. I remember, she's not supposed to be there. But she comes in and she says, O king, forever, live forever. And don't be alarmed. She's going to try to speak a word. Don't be alarmed and don't look so pale. Have you ever walked up to somebody and said, don't look so pale? Are you kidding me? But that's what she said, don't look so pale. There is a man in your kingdom who has a spirit of the holy gods in him. In the time of your father, he was found. She did her homework, by the way. She read a little history book or something. In the time of your father, he was found to have insight and intelligence and wisdom. You know, and I like what she said, because it's not good enough just to have a little insight, a little common sense, which is common sense, and a little intelligence. She said, and wisdom, like that of the gods. Credit to the queen here. And she has this great memory, or she studied a little bit. Maybe it jogged his mind. I don't know. Then she tells King Belshazzar all about what Daniel did for his father, his own father. His wife is telling him, well, let me remind you about what happened between Daniel and your father. And she tells him in verse 12, call for Daniel, and he'll tell you what the writing means. It's simple. We have a simple solution here. What we're going to do is we're going to call for this guy because it worked for your father. So they brought Daniel in as a last resort. Do you notice that he's always a last resort? Do you know that people always, as a last resort, look for godly counsel? When all the other counsel fails, when the lawyer can't help you and the doctor can't help you, maybe you should consult God and God's people. So anyway, she said, call for Daniel and he will tell you what the writing means. I find it so interesting that she knows all about Daniel. So they brought him in before the king, and the king asked him about himself. He wants a resume here. The king tells Daniel, and if you can do this, I'm going to give you the purple clothes, the new wardrobe. I'm going to give you the gold chains, the jewelry, and I'm going to promote you to the third in the land. And Daniel says, I will read that writing, and I will tell you what it means, and you can keep the wardrobe, and you can keep the jewelry. I wouldn't have said that, by the way, at all. And you can keep the promotion. Wouldn't have said that either. He's a better man than I, better woman, okay? So, however, Daniel turned down these rewards, but I believe in my heart that Daniel is now older and wiser, and he's more mature, and he has such great integrity that he's basically saying, I don't need all of that stuff. In the end, the king gives it to him. But I believe he's making a point that I'm not interested in your worldly things. That's not why I'm doing this. That's not why I'm going to read it to you. That's not why I'm going to interpret it. I'm not interested in all of those things. And that's not why I'm doing it. So, he's interested in the things of God. So Daniel tells the king that God gave his father Nebuchadnezzar greatness, and what happened, he became hard-hearted and prideful. He went crazy. And then when he acknowledged God, his kingdom is restored to him. But in verse 22, he says this, but you, in other words, this is now about you and not your dad. But you, his son, this is now about you and not him, but you, his son, O Belshazzar, you have not humbled yourself even though you knew all this. Let me tell you what this is telling me. He already knew what the queen came in and said. He had all the same information she did. She was just reminding him of that, and he is bold enough, Daniel, to say, you are not like your dad. You have not humbled yourself, though you knew better. You knew all of this. And I love how he's telling the king, I'm not telling you something you already know. And still, and he says in verse 23, instead, you have set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You had the goblets from God's temple brought to you and to your nobles, to your wives, to your concubines. You drank out of them. You praise the gods of silver and gold and bronze and wood and stone, which cannot see, cannot hear, or understand, but you did not honor God, who holds in his hand your life and all your ways. God holds in his hand your life and all your ways. Therefore, he sent the hand that wrote the inscription. This is the inscription that was written, many, many tekel prasin. This is what it means, many. God has numbered the days of your reign, and it is brought to an end. You have already used up your days, is what it means. You are at the end right now. Still, you see no repentance. After he said that, many, I would have said, I repent. Oh, God, please, please add to my days. Help me. Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales, and you have been found lacking. Paris, your kingdom is divided and it is now given to the Medes and Persians. Verse 29. This is very sad, by the way. No repentance. Then at Belshazzar's command, because I'm going to explain this to you in a minute as we get ready. Then at Belshazzar's command, Daniel was clothed in purple. Yay, he got the good clothes. A gold chain, jewelry, placed around his neck, and he was proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom, which since the king's about to be murdered, maybe he got to be second. That very night, there was no, I'm going to show you something here real quick. Remember with Nebuchadnezzar, there was 12 months for him to repent. There is nothing here. This is a man who so desecrated the things of God, so disrespected God, and the things of God, had no remorse. I mean, just blatant, and had no desire to repent. And so God, he's gone as far as he can go with this guy, and still there's no repentance. Even as Daniel was speaking, I'd be repenting. Even as the prophet was talking to me, this is you, this is the end, I'd be like, oh, God, please, oh, God, I beg your mercy. None of that. Instead, the fact that he could pull it together enough to, in verse 29, go, oh, he told me the dream and it's the end, so I'm going to give Daniel the new clothes and stuff like I promised. I wouldn't even have thought about that. But this is what it shows me. Because that very night, Belshazzar, king of the Babylonians, was murdered, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62. There's nothing more mentioned except there was a murder that night, no repentance, nothing. But let me tell you what it shows me as our musicians come, that he gave him the clothes and the jewelry, and he gave him the promotion and had the presence of mind to do that. You know what he was doing? Does anybody know what he was doing? He was honoring Daniel, but not the God of Daniel. I'm going to give you, I'm so proud of you, Daniel. You got it. You got the dream. You were able to interpret the dream. But God, I would have thought you would have been, praise be to God who revealed the dream to little brother Daniel over here. Instead, he gives Daniel all this honor and nothing to God. And that ends the reign and rule of Belshazzar. Isn't that the most heartbreaking story? And this is something that came to my heart, that really broke my heart, and I don't like to think about eternity in this respect and things. King Nebuchadnezzar is not going to see his son in heaven. Think about that for a minute. And does it really matter almost? I mean, it does, in the sense that we all want to go to heaven, and nobody wants to spend eternity apart from God. But to know that your children didn't make it, I think we owe our children to bring them to God's house, to insist. If you thought that to pull your children into church, to tell them, yes, we are going to God's house, no matter what their fight, no matter what they say, what if I told you, you're pulling them out of hell to do that? You are pulling them. You think you're dragging them to church, and I say you're not. I say you're pulling them out of hellfire, because they're going to remember. They're going to remember that. I know I do. I know I do. And I'm so thankful for this story. It's sobering, but it's still God's word. It's true, and it's a warning to each and every one of us. And I'm so delighted to know that someday I will meet King Nebuchadnezzar.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.